Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Good Saturday morning. It's one of my favorite days of the week, not just because you can rest, but also because the stock market is closed. Have you noticed the stock market has been a little crazy lately? I'm joined by my colleague, business partner, and friend of 35 years, the amazing Mike Carter. Mike, how are you doing this morning?
Great. Yes, I've been watching the markets and all that's going on because it's hard not to, even on a Saturday, to kind of check and say, okay, what should I be thinking about now?
Yeah, well, I'm getting a lot of calls about the uncertain stock market. When did this all start? Well, the market peaked on July 17th with the Dow at an all-time high. Prior to that, it was the point of 41,500 on the Dow. And that was on a Monday, July 17th. And what was significant about that Monday? It was the first trading day after President Trump had been shot, throwing the presidential race into a surreal situation. Biden would soon withdraw, Vice President Harris would be selected without a single vote, and then we had the media onslaught, social media and the internet seemingly changing history. Like I saw him shot. You saw him shot, right?
Yes.
Live on television.
For about 48 hours, and then all of a sudden, well, maybe he wasn't even shot, according to our CIA director. And then
FBI.
FBI. And then you start Googling things, and you see what they're doing to change the algorithm there, and it starts to say, okay, it's a different media world today.
Yeah, well, you try that. Try artificial intelligence and ask for commentary on Trump assassination attempt, and Google's AI chatbot, and really almost every AI chatbot, refused to even answer basic questions about it. I'm looking at foxbusiness.com. From July 30th, Google AI chatbot refuses to answer questions about Trump assassination attempt relating to previous policy. Did you notice that? Did you try it?
I didn't try it, but I didn't doubt it either when I saw that that's what was coming up. And it just makes you wonder, what is it that they're trying to hide or do when you see something like that?
Yeah, they would make these claims. Google would say, well, we didn't manually do that. No, you wrote an algorithm that did it automatically, which is even scarier because it's going to do it in every case, not just in one case. Let me quote here. Artificial intelligence chatbot Google Gemini refuses to answer questions about the failed assassination attempt against former President Trump in accordance with what it calls its policy on election-related issues. Now, how is that not in the public interest that someone's trying to shoot a former president who's a candidate for president, and all these questions about whether or not Secret Service was doing their job, doing a proper job, and yet the Google chatbot refused. It says, I can't help with responses on elections and political figures right now. What good is AI if you can't look up and find about the election? Gemini told Fox News Digital when asked about the recent assassination attempt. While I would never deliberately share something that's inaccurate, I can make mistakes. So while I work on improving, you can try Google search.
Yeah, you know, we've been warned about this, and we help facilitate a project through our solution to action take here, where AI is going to be used either for evil or it's going to be used for truth. We're going to be able to find what's really happening out there or we're not. And so these parallel systems to where we can actually see what, this is what I saw with my plain eye, both of my eyes, is that I'm like, can I confirm that with what I'm seeing from AI? And when you don't, you start to say, okay, it's getting a little scary.
So artificial intelligence is manipulating us, yes, is what that's saying. And somebody programmed it to manipulate us, and it's Google, and I'm not sure I trust Google. All right, so AI from Google tells us, so while I'm working on improving, you can try Google search. So looking up Google search, I typed in assassination attempt on TRU, and you know what it pre-populated? It pre-populated Truman.
Well, that's current and
President
relative.
Truman, right? And in fact, there's a National Review article, August 5th. Google admits to omitting Trump assassination attempt from search autocomplete feature. Did you try it? I did.
I didn't try it.
Mike, you got to get out there more and try these things. You saw it in the news, though, right?
I did see it in the news, yes. I saw it in the news. I saw it on there, and I was like, yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. But I've learned to, I have my trusted sources now, and I've learned to just be careful with anything that I search out there nowadays.
I tried it five different ways. It infuriated me. Let me quote from this National Review article. It says, an attorney for Google's parent company admitted that the autocomplete tool for its search function did not include the assassination attempt against former President Donald Trump. The admission came after the apparent search issues drew controversy online. So AI says, hey, we're not going to tell you the truth about this, and it's, you know, because of our policy, but you should try Google search. Then you try Google search and they admit they don't let you find it easily. And not only that, in the same article, it goes on to explain that if you searched for just President Trump, you would get Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris, featured, and any mention of Trump will be Harris is beating Trump, or Harris is better than Trump,
or six out of eight times, or something like that. I saw. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we did. We saw how all this can be manipulated. We had Epstein on the show before.
Dr. Robert Epstein, yeah. who is a, by the way, he's a liberal Democrat, not a fan of Trump. Voted for Clinton. Voted for Biden, and yet he says Google is manipulating us. Right now. So what do you think Google's bias is?
Well, I think that's pretty obvious right now. But the scary part is what he shared was how for those independent voters that are trying to make a decision, how this can sway such a large percentage of that audience just by what Google serves up there. And to see that it's an AI tool that says this and then go to Google and it says this, it tells me that this isn't something that's just kind of happening. It's planned.
Yeah, we've had Dr. Robert Epstein in the Economic War Room on our Blaze television show several times. We've also, you and I traveled with him to yes. Liberty University, yeah. where he and I spoke to Liberty University's convocation, which was fantastic. But Google is manipulating us. It's creating a lot of uncertainty, and that uncertainty is causing people to be concerned. I'll take us back to the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
They're being concerned about their investments. So political uncertainty has led to economic uncertainty, and that's what we're going to talk about today, economic uncertainty.
Yeah, and let's just talk about those investments. If I can't find the information I want to find if I'm deciding what I want to invest in, that's an issue. I mean, I need to have trusted sources that I can go to and say, well, I believe this company is a good investment because of this, this, and this. And if they can manipulate that even, can they cause an economic collapse?
But oh, absolutely, they could. You know, you could put enough data and information out in the feed that the trading algorithms would pick that up. That was tested once, where a tweet went out that said President Obama has been shot, and it caused the stock market to collapse.
I remember that.
And yeah. So the Monday after President Trump was shot was the peak in the market, and it went down for weeks after that. You know, there'd be rebounds and so forth, but it was quite the struggle.
Well, I'm glad we've got NSIC, and we're helping equip advisors with truth and information and how they can align their money with their values and all those types of things out there. But these are the things we need to be aware of as citizens, you know, what we're hearing, what we're seeing. Do I trust it? Have multiple sources and fact check it yourself.
Yeah, that's right. So here's the thing. People get nervous when they get uncertain about their money. And I've gotten so many calls. People ask me, what do I do with my money? Because we've had this tumultuous presidential campaign. We have the economy up and we've got inflation. We've got this and we've got a real switch, a bidirectional. You're going to elect one set of policies from Harris or a very distinctly different set of policies with Trump. What do I do? Well, here's our key Bible verse for today. 1 Timothy 6:17, New King James, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So here are my thoughts. If you live in America, you're rich in this present age. Number two, God's word says riches are uncertain. And number three, God says we are not to trust in riches. And so that's what we're going to focus on.
Did he say not to trust in Google too?
Yeah, well, I think that would be true. Google has literally lied to us, as we've evidenced just now. This is the kind of thing we talk about week in and week out on Pirate Money Radio. Where do you put your trust? How do you handle it? And even after all that, where do I put my money? We'll have more on this right after the break.
Throughout history, the spirit of patriotism has prevailed. The battles may have changed, but the values remain the same. Today, in 2024, we find ourselves at a pivotal moment where the call for unity, freedom, and a better future echoes louder than ever. For more than 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream. Because this year is not just any year. It's the most important year since our nation's founding. Choose a wireless carrier that shares your values. Choose Patriot Mobile.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we were talking just before the break, 1 Timothy 6:17, New King James, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Here are the thoughts. Number one, if you live in America, you are rich in this present age. We've been so blessed here in America.
Yeah.
And number two, God's word says riches are uncertain. People ask me, hey, Kevin, give me certainty about my investments. And I was like, I can't. If God's declared it uncertain, how can Kevin make it certain? I can't. And number three, we're not to trust riches. We're to trust God who gives us richly all things we enjoy. I know you, we've been friends for a long time. You and I have had our financial ups and downs at time. You know, you had some great jobs that paid you extraordinarily, and you lived in that fabulous house, and and you've had some struggle times too.
Yeah, we've had some entrepreneurial wins and some losses out there, but you learned that one thing you learned to always trust in the Lord, and you've also, you know, through that process, we learned that you don't hold on too tightly to what you have.
Yeah. Well, the question comes up: what do I do with the money that I have? You know, there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, spend it, or invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. And I appreciate any company that supports liberty, security, and values. That's what I want my money to be doing, whether I'm giving, spending, or investing.
Yeah, and you just look at a Patriot Mobile website, for example, and you see what they're giving towards. And I'd encourage people listening to look at that. I mean, you can kind of feel good about paying that bill every month. It's like, oh, it's going towards good things.
Well, you get more information, again, at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. So we're looking at the stock market. We're looking at what our 401k says. We're looking at, you know, do we have money for our retirement, our kids' college, all those things. Should I stay in the stock market? We had this big drop in early August. There was a moment of panic. Mm-hmm. Why?
You know, I'm curious. I wanted you to expand on that a little bit, Kevin, because you talked about this Japanese thing, which I'd never heard before. And can you just kind of walk through that a little more?
Yeah, that week was a kind of an amazing week because all of a sudden I'm getting calls from Jenna Ellis, Dinesh D'Souza, talking to Charlie Kirk, so many people. That week was great because I also interviewed Ben Carson and John Voight, and you know, which we had on clips from last week.
We're getting a lot of influencers through Liberty Hawk Ranch and on our shows, and that's the encouraging part of all this. When we see uncertainty out there, we're also seeing people coming together and working together more and saying, okay, how do we work towards solutions?
Yeah, but they were all universally saying, is this it? Is mm-hmm. this the Harris trade? Is the market going down? Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that a little bit today. But I'll tell you what happened. In that big drop, the largest drop in a couple of years from early August, it had to do with the Japanese yen carry trade. Now, I know that doesn't make sense. Japanese yen, what does that have to do with the American stock market? And I'll tell you what it has to do with. The Japanese currency had been going down for years against the U.S. dollar, and they had near zero interest rates. And so big money players, hedge funds, could go into Japan and they could borrow money at 0% interest. And when they paid it back, the yen had depreciated from the week before, month before, year before, so much so that they could actually make a profit just from borrowing it, holding it, and paying it back if they converted it to something else. So they could have turned it into U.S. dollars and made money. But they did beyond that. They took that money that they borrowed in Japan and they bought U.S. stocks, particularly the Magnificent Seven stocks. Head of that class is NVIDIA, which is a chip maker that benefits from artificial intelligence, but also in there is Apple and Facebook and Google. And, you know, it's the old big tech stocks, Microsoft. So this Magnificent Seven stocks, they just kept producing profits because we had this AI boom going on and it seemed like free guaranteed money. And so they just kept borrowing in yen, investing here, borrowing in yen, investing here. And then all of a sudden, something that we thought would be good for the stock market, the Federal Reserve comes out and says, we may lower interest rates here in America. Hmm. Remember that?
Yep.
It came out and Jerome Powell says, all right, we're headed for a September rate cut and we're going to lower interest rates. Well, guess what? All of a sudden that made the Japanese yen a little more attractive on a relative basis so that people said, hey, you know, the yen, maybe it's a little too cheap. Maybe it needs to go up in value relative to the dollar. So the yen strengthened. And the minute the yen strengthened, there were all of these debt margin calls from Japan. Hey, you borrowed in yen. We need to get you to put some money back in. And where do I get that money? Well, I'll have to sell some NVIDIA or some Apple. And people started selling their stocks to reverse that yen carry trade. And when they did that, that created a panic here. It wasn't necessarily the Harris trade, maybe it was. Maybe there's all this political uncertainty leading to economic uncertainty, leading to people worried about the stock market. And then the trigger, the match that lights the fuse was the Japanese yen carry trade.
So that's what it was on this one. But we've also talked and seen what the World Economic Forum has talked about, this cyber attack potentially on the banks and causing a great reset. That's what people are is that happening now? That's what people are concerned about.
All right. So we talked with General Flynn here in the economic war room, and I sat down with him privately, and he said, if I were the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, or if I were the head of the National Security Council, he's held both positions, I would have been forced to take this to the president. Now, to give you the gravity of that, he also told me he never once, when he was the head of the DIA, never once met with President Obama. Not one time. Obama appointed him and reappointed him, but never once did he take a meeting with him. But he said, I would have been forced to make a meeting happen with the president because he's hearing chatter of an October surprise. And that October surprise could be any of a number of things. It could be stock market. It could be economic. But what he believes that is going to happen is the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and 28 others, 80% of the world's population, half of the world's economy, may try and pull the rug out from under the dollar and in a fire sale fashion in October, which would include a cyber attack like CrowdStrike. We just had that CrowdStrike thing. We talked about it a few weeks ago here. You put them all together with the notion that, Vice President Harris could well be coming. The polls don't look impossible for her, and one good debate win.
And her vice presidential candidate is not making that team look any more free market focused.
No. In fact, they're definitely Marxist in their approach. I mean, she even uses Marxist phraseology, looking forward to what's ahead, unburdened by what's already been. You know, that's Marxist phraseology. Her father is absolutely Marxist, absolutely 100% taught at Berkeley as a Marxist. She was raised in that. And her policies, now she shifted some of them in her public stances, but her policies were avowedly Marxist. Take your guns, confiscate wealth, you know, those kind of things. And one thing that she's a policy she's absolutely stood with is that she's going to let the Trump tax cuts expire, as Biden said he would too.
And that'll be great for middle America, and that's already hurting out there right now, to pay more taxes. So,
well, and it's going to be bad for the whole economy. I mean, corporate taxes, one notion, corporate taxes go back to 35%. Right now, our corporate tax rate is about 20%, 21%. I've got corporate taxes across the G20. The highest is Argentina, the lowest Saudi Arabia, and this is from June of 2024, June of this year. Saudi Arabia is at 20%, Russia is 20%, U.S. is 21%, but Argentina, India, Brazil, Japan, Australia, Germany, Mexico, all 30% or higher. America would go to 35%. We would go from one of the lowest tax rates to one of the highest tax rates in the G20. What would that do to American corporations?
Wow. And I just heard that her new vice presidential pick does not have any investments at all. I'm not confirmed that, but that was on a reliable news source this morning. He has no investments.
He was in the National Guard for decades, and yet he lived a year in China and traveled to China every year. He is a China, and he loves China. China is Marxist. China is not our friend. So how is that? You know, I heard Sebastian Gorka ask that question. You know, if someone with a security clearance travels to China like that, they get a visit and knock on the door. And this guy was very much pro-China. But back on this whole issue of corporate taxes, if you have a super high tax rate in your nation, what do corporations do? They move to other nations. Mm-hmm. And I have proof of that. Did you see Chevron, after 145 years in California, is relocating to Texas?
I did see that. Another Texas company coming now.
Headlines from the LA Times. Here's the significant thing about that. You know the original name for Chevron?
No.
Standard Oil of California. Standard Oil of California. This is a John D. Rockefeller when they split him up. So they're coming to Texas, and the LA Times is having to report on it. It says, with the announcement Friday that it was moving its headquarters from California to Texas, Chevron Corporation became perhaps one of the last dinosaurs to slip into the tar pit, a symbol of California's monumental transition from a manufacturing and production state to the brave new world of services. In the popular imagination, California has been seen as Hollywood, sunshine, and beaches that attracted millions of new residents and built its sprawling cities. But in reality, the great magnet of growth for decades was the production of things. Think aerospace, petroleum, and agriculture. And now that's slipping away to Texas. That is what happens when you adopt socialist policies like 20% minimum wages, and you have high corporate tax rates, as California does. You'll want to move to a lower tax state. And if you have high national corporate tax rates, you're going to want to move to a lower tax nation.
Yes.
Which means manufacturing is going to be done in other nations, lower tax rates, and maybe not as strong environmental standards. So it's going to hurt the environment. It's going to hurt American workers. It's going to hurt our economy. It's going to hurt American investors. That's what high corporate tax rates do to you. And by the way, corporations don't really pay taxes. They pass them along immediately to the consumer in higher prices.
Yeah. Well, I heard Jim Cramer say the other day that if you care about pocketbook issues, you care about your taxes, you're going to vote Trump. That was his assessment.
After he'd endorsed Harris earlier. Yeah. All right, we'll talk about this more and the differences between the Harris approach and the Trump approach and what that could mean for your wallet right after this break. In uncertain times, finding stability in the economy can feel challenging. But what if you could navigate economic volatility while honoring your biblical values? At Timothy Plan, they believe this balance is possible. Timothy Plan filters its volatility-weighted ETFs and family of mutual funds through a biblical pro-life and pro-family lens, so you can see competitive returns and moral responsibility, helping you to weather the economic storms. With Timothy Plan, align your investments with your values while adapting to our ever-changing culture. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has been recognized leader in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan, your bridge between faith, finances, and the future. Visit timothyplan.com or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN or 1-800-846-7526. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal.
Before investing, carefully consider a fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And I'm joined by my colleague, Mike Carter, and we're talking about uncertainty of riches. But still, we have to invest our money. We have to be good stewards of the things God's given us. So here are a couple of points that we're making. First, the person who occupies the White House will make a tremendous difference in regard to how investments perform. We're at an inflection point between socialism and free markets. Tax policy being one example, and we were talking about how under Harris, she's going to let the Trump tax cuts expire, corporate taxes will go higher. It's also going to hit families with higher tax rates as well. So that's the first point. Here's the second point I want to make. What may seem obvious may be obviously wrong. Did you get that?
Is that a Harris new Harris phrase?
No, that's a Joe Granville. Harris says, unburdened by what has been, meaning we're going to forget history, wipe out history, and so forth, which is a very Marxist concept.
Yep.
Second point is, what may seem obvious may be obviously wrong. And this is true in the stock market because I remember as a kid in the eighth grade, my dad being a stockbroker, he came into Sharon Grimm's it was social studies class, and it was about economics. We were studying the stock market, and we had two classes were competing, and I was in the afternoon class, and the morning class decided that we were entering summer, and what we were going to do is we were going to collect up enough money to buy one share in each class of two different stocks, and the morning class decided they were going to buy Coca-Cola because we were entering summer, and summer is hot. And hot means there'll be more sales of Coca-Cola, and so Coke stock will go up. And they bought that. And I convinced our class to buy MCA Universal, which was a movie-making company that also had record artists and so forth. And I'll admit, my wife laughs at me. I just pulled out some old vinyl records the other day. But I'm going to tell you, the quote that I made, this is me in eighth grade, all right? So forgive me for this. But I said, let's buy MCA because Olivia Newton-John just signed her label and she's hot. And so,
Well, you got all the boy votes anyhow.
The beautiful Olivia Newton-John. So I said, but they've got this new movie coming out too. It's called Jaws, and it's going to be a summer blockbuster, and nobody realizes. It's going to be one of those great summer feel-good movies. One. But nobody had high expectations for it. And that was, you know, I was the nerd kid in eighth grade, and I was studying, and Olivia was hot, and she was fabulous earnings for MCA. And also, Jaws was the first $100 million blockbuster ever produced. It's, you know, amazing movie. So we beat the pants off the other group. What was obvious about Coca-Cola was obviously wrong.
Yeah.
So what's obvious here in the stock market, what's going to work, I want to quote from an article by Fisher Investments. This is Ken Fisher. Ken Fisher is one of the great investment managers of all time. His father was one of the great economists of all time. Ken writes in Forbes magazine, but he's also built a very large investment management practice. You'll see his ads. Have you seen the Fisher Investments ads?
Yeah, I got to get
the
envelopes and all that stuff from him.
Yeah. So here's the article from Fisher Investments, August 8th, The Perils of Picking Policy Winners. I'll just read it. Election season is frequently wild and unpredictable. Yeah, that's true. But one entry on the bingo card that gets reliably ticked off every time, pundits hyping of a given candidate's supposed stock market winners and losers. In 2016, it was all about the Trump trade. 4 years later, it was nonstop Biden stocks. This time around, we have already seen a fair amount of Trump trade chatter and Harris, no alliteration here, but you get the gist. Not only do we think this is premature, but the notions of Trump trades, Biden stocks, and now Harris, we guess Harris hits, always miss the mark. Elections do affect markets, and we will get there. But it isn't about identifying the winner and the sectors and industries likeliest to thrive under them. So here's what they contrast. The earlier Trump and current Biden administrations bear this out. In 2016, when Trump won, headlines claimed his presidency would boost energy and industrial stocks bigly. thanks to his campaign emphasis on fossil fuels and defense spending. But that viewpoint didn't work out so hot. During his administration, energy was the S&P 500's only negative sector, down 29.5% cumulative. But industrials were positive, up 49.1%, lagging the S&P 500's 81.4%. Even over a shorter span, the year after the inauguration, both sectors lagged. Now the aerospace and defense industry led in the first year, but lagged over the full 4 years. All right, so what you thought was obvious, Trump's going in, so buy these stocks, it already got priced into the market. Yeah. And so if you bought it, you bought it too late. What happened when Biden entered the White House? Here again, it supposedly meant dark days for energy, high times for industrials due to all the infrastructure spending he championed, and sunlit uplands for all things green. And yet in the year after his inauguration, energy-led markets rising 56%, industrials lagged slightly, and green energy, which lives in a small nook in the utility sector, was down 15.8%. Even the S&P Global Clean Energy Index, a broad measure including overseas firms, was down. So bottom line is, what's obvious may be obviously wrong. Be very, very careful when you're looking and you're saying, oh, Trump's going to win, and so we got to buy these stocks. It might work in the short term. It's not going to necessarily work in the long term. History proves that out. So,
yeah, I mean, I look at that, and I'm, you know, we a couple of segments ago, we talked about how, you know, it's the markets are pretty much even, typically, between the Republicans and Democrats out there. As we see this shift towards a much more Marxist type administration, do you think that still holds play?
Well, yeah, historically, and normally the Democrats will begin the analysis starting in 1928 with Herbert Hoover, because they want to include the 29 crash and punish him with that. And they like to end with Bush at the tail end, who had the 2008 financial crisis. But if you pull those out, they're fairly even. Ideally, the best stock markets have come historically when you've got a very conservative Congress, regardless of who president is. And the data is really skewed on that, because the Republicans didn't hold Congress until Clinton. I mean, from the Great Depression until Clinton in the 1990s. So we had 50 or 60 years with the Democrats controlling Congress. When you have a conservative Congress, it makes all the difference in the world. But you're right. The difference between Marxist policies and pro-growth policies is stark. People don't remember. President Jimmy Carter, you know, wonderful human being, I'm sure. I never met him. I met Reagan. I met George W. Bush. I met President Trump. I met a number of presidents. Never met Carter. I wouldn't have minded to meet him. I'd sit down, and he might drink a Billy beer. I'd be drinking a cup of coffee or Diet Coke. But